This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Welcome to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier, and joining me, as he always does on Tuesday mornings, it is the great Cousin Sal.
Yeah,
Sal, how's it going, man?
It's
great
going
to
great.
See you. Yeah.
Last night, big win, Lions. I predicted it on Ringer Wise Guys. You did well also on Sunday.
Thank God.
Yes, and I'm 5-3, and we can have our crack staff put it together. I think that's 87%.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it sounds good. Sounds good. 87% sounds great. We got a lot of good football. We had Monday night football last night. Mm-hmm. We saw the Detroit Lions handle business. Their first win on Monday Night Football since 2014. Oh my God, it's almost been a decade, but it was great to see those fans finally have something good happen. Your thoughts just seeing the Lions get a big win, 6-2 now on the season.
That place was hot. It was a thorough beatdown, despite the three turnovers, which is good. I mean, a team now knows they could turn it over and still win thoroughly. Like I said, 29-12 first downs, 486-157 total yards. They're to be reckoned with,
right?
I'm going to say.
Troy Aikman at one point during the broadcast did bring that up, and he said, and it almost was a Freudian slip, he was like, the NFC might run through Ford Field. I mean, how real is that? Do you think that's actually the truth? Do you think it actually could run through Detroit?
Yeah, why not?
Okay,
why not? We've seen San Francisco let down. Yeah. The Eagles are, you know, 3, 4, 5 injuries away from the Lions being the best team in the conference.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But one of the guys that are giving them hope, Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, he set new career highs in the game last night in carries, 26 carries, rushing yards, 152 rushing yards, and rushing yards over expected rushing yards, which is 45, plus 45 in that department as well. Had a touchdown in this game. So Jahmyr Gibbs, he was the talk of the town last night.
What's above expected? Like who expects?
Someone, you know,
somebody expects it?
These mathematicians, these scientists, these analytical minds, they put together these algorithms and they never show me the work, Sal,
they
but I just have to regurgitate what's going on. Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, 31 touches, I think, 189 yards total. Outstanding. He had 9 touches like in the first 6 minutes. And David Montgomery, I know they have a bye next week, but he's going to get less and less of a workload. I mean, this guy just has a different gear, running downhill the whole game. And, you know, just when it looked like they were going to, you know, the pick six and then another turnover at the one, they get the ball back and he puts it away.
Yeah, Marcus Peters with the big pick six. That was probably the only downtrodden moment for the Detroit Lions. The rest of the game was great. Sam LaPorta was also great in this game. The young tight end, 8 catches, 57 yards and a touchdown. So all in all for the Detroit Lions, it was a great night there in Ford Field. And there was a lot of hope and optimism after a tough game against the Baltimore Ravens. Do we feel better now that they bounce back in this fashion on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was exactly that, a bounce-back position. You know, you're allowed to do that. They went and laid an egg in Baltimore and then just took care of business at home. And, you know, with what's going on with Minnesota and Chicago and Green Bay, like, I don't even know who's the best quarterback out of the backups and Jordan Love in that division. So they're running away with the North.
Yeah, it's a good day to be Jared Goff, right? I mean, he was one of those guys that was considered a throwaway, a stopgap, all these different terms, and now he's the class of the NFC North when it comes to the quarterback position. So how things can change very quickly.
People would turn to point at him like, you stopgap. And it's like, whoa.
What did he say? Yeah, right. It was a lot of that. Thank God those kids stopped pointing the fingers. Let's talk about pointing fingers at the Oakland Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
And let's talk about Josh McDaniels because things are not going great right now. They're 3-5. Jimmy G tried his best in this game to, I guess, be competent enough to game manage, but you can't manage what you can't contain. Devontae Adams, you know, slamming his his helmet down in this game. A whole lot of sideshow activity for the Raiders at this point. Your thoughts on just what you saw on Monday Night Football, and is there any hope, or is this season kind of a wash?
No, I mean, we saw them last week. It was disgusting. They had 1-2 in a row, so they get you excited for a minute. But, you know, I think this season is a loss. I know there are a lot of 4-3 teams, and they're only, what, 3-4, 3-5 right in there. So they could technically catch some of those teams, but I'm looking at their schedule. They have the Chiefs twice. They're at Miami. They have the Chargers. I say get rid of everyone. Davante Adams has to understand, though, wherever he plays, he's going to have a helmet. So he can take it out on the helmet, but it's just going to be like a different color and everything. So he can't freak out like that.
And what is the leash on Josh McDaniels in general? Obviously, comes in after Gruden. Gruden had that 10-year, $100 million deal and then had his whole scandal and fallout. And Josh McDaniels was supposed to step in and create some sort of, you know, normal environment, I guess. But it seems like things are just – they're a little off the rails, to say the least.
I think the one thing he has going for him is Mark Davis doesn't want to pay four coaches. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still on for Gruden. He's still on – like, he's still paying all these guys, and he has to buy out the contract. You don't want to be on the hook for coaches for $130 million counting against you. Doesn't count against a cap, but it's a pretty hefty sum.
And as you're watching right now, it is Halloween. Happy Halloween. Oh, yeah. I hope you're having a great holiday. And it's also the trade deadline in the NFL. Do you think there's any chance that the Raiders make any moves? Is there a move to make? I mean, you got Renfrow, you got Davante Adams. Who knows? Maybe you throw Jimmy G out there and see if someone wants to cash in on a quarterback. But is there any sort of move that they could make?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Davante Adams seems the unhappiest out of everyone and probably the shiniest toy in terms of teams looking for, you know, all-pro receiver. But, right. Yeah. Trade everyone. Start with Adams and with Mark Davis's barber.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, Davante Adams came there to play with Derek Carr. Derek Carr is now the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. So I think there's a move to be made. But now let's have some fun. One of my favorite games.
Finally, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, usually we do this right after the break. We do over-under reactions. Yeah. I give you a statement. You tell me if it's an overreaction or underreaction.
Yeah, why'd we change this?
Because we're going to have more fun earlier. Okay, you know what I mean? A lot of people were tuning out. They were like, where's all the fun?
I see.
So let's have it at the top of the show. Let's start with this one, talking about quarterback play, especially bad quarterback play. Shout out to you, Jimmy G. But NFL quarterback play has reached a new low this season. Sal, overreaction or underreaction?
I think it's an underreaction. You watch those 1 p.m. games on Sunday. There were 9 of them. There were 5 replacement quarterbacks put in those 9 games. I don't know what you do. Scoring is down. I don't know if they should play with 5 downs, the offense, 2 balls, start at the 40-yard line. We have to figure something out, Tate, because it's disgusting, these low scores and just this poor play by the offense overall. You know, and Tommy DeVito, a guy who couldn't throw a forward pass, was in the game for the Giants. They didn't, like, not that he couldn't do it, but they wouldn't let him. They just wouldn't let him.
I don't know what's happening to our country, but we used to have better quarterbacks. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who we point the finger at, but if you look at the CFL, guys like Chad Kelly, you know, former star in college, he's one of the best players for the Toronto Argonauts. Maybe we bring him down. Maybe we bring some of these CFL quarterbacks into the NFL, get a little competition going, because right now, guys like Double Bajent, you know, are starting NFL quarterbacks. Yeah. So it's
Chad
an interesting
Kelly,
time.
R. Kelly, Minka Kelly, I don't care, whatever.
Bring somebody out there that's a gunslinger and can actually throw the football down the field. So we need that. So quarterback play, not so great right now. The next one I have for you, the NFL owes us all as viewers an apology for the Jets-Giants game. Overreaction or an underreaction?
I think that is an underreaction. Everybody should apologize, not just the NFL, the hot dog vendors, people outside MetLife Stadium.
MetLife, the company?
MetLife,
they should, put
guys
out a
selling
statement.
Parking spots that didn't exist. Do it. This was an embarrassing event that we had to sit through for 3 hours. Probably the most embarrassing thing to happen in New York since you and Jim Cunningham went on a bender.
Jim Cunningham. Shout out to you. But, you're right about that. Which coach do you trust more between Salah and Daboll? Because that was a showdown of epic proportions between those two guys trying to lose
the game.
Yeah, I think
so. You know, you could say Salah. I'll say Salah. I don't care who's right. But I think it's him right now. And I predicted a month ago that the Giants fans would turn on Daboll, and it looks like it's happening.
Yeah, I think it's happening right before our very eyes, and shout out to everyone that was at that game. A lot of upset Giants fans, Jets fans. They actually were bonding over how much they hated what they were watching, so that was kind of good news.
Yeah, it's bad when there's not one clip of a fan fight for such an intense
No, they're
rivalry.
Hugging each other like, I'm so sorry you have to watch this. They're no, I'm so sorry you have to watch
this. We're all defeated.
Yeah, right, we're all losers here. Let's keep it going. Stopping the tush-push will be the high point point of the Washington Commanders season. Is that an overreaction or an underreaction?
I think it is an underreaction. I think, well, the only thing I can compare it to is they broke the Ravens' preseason winning streak. That was a big moment, right? And then there's the tush push, and they stopped it. And I said this on Simmons, but the crew reminded me it doesn't matter if I repeat myself. They love when I repeat myself. It was like when Danielson got his crane kick caught by Chosen, right? Or when Thor had his hammer smashed by Ragnarok. Then on Wikipedia. Sorry, I don't know. Anyway, yes, big moment for Washington. They lost the game. Daniel Snyder must be like, how can I get this team back? We are going places.
These are his guys. And it's funny, out of the tush push late in that game, the Eagles had a little option, a little variation out of the tush push, a little rollout. So they have already decided that they're going to try to change the variation. Right,
yeah. We can get our 1 yard every day.
So. And maybe the rule doesn't come in from the league where they get rid of the tush push because the Eagles kind of go away from it for a little while. I'm on to the Eagles. I know what they're up to. Pretty smart stuff there. Another one for you, Sal. Russell Wilson and Sean Payton are turning the Denver Broncos into a legitimate team. A legitimate team?
No,
is that
that's
overreaction? That's
no,
an
overreaction. Stop it, Tate. You're embarrassing yourself. Go on to the next one.
that's
I don't know.
No, you don't believe?
Listen, in this NFL, when you could be like 3-4 and
back-to-back wins,
sniffing a playoff spot, maybe they are a legitimate team, but I am not backing.
Not a playoff team, probably, but a legitimate team that does exist. And you mentioned it, Russell Wilson, the numbers aren't that bad. The eye test does not look great, but the numbers aren't that bad. So if you're a guy that likes analytics and you like the numbers, maybe you look at Russell Wilson and you buy into the hype. Speaking of buying into the hype, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott is playing like a Super Bowl quarterback. Ooh. Overreaction or an underreaction?
Well, yes, if that Super Bowl quarterback is Trent Dilfer, yes, I would say he is playing like a Super Bowl quarterback.
No, Nick Foles, maybe?
Nick Foles. Well, yeah, those guys won. I don't know. It's tough to say. I'm going to say it's an overreaction. I'm sorry. No, he threw for four touchdowns, but in the previous game, four games, he only threw for one or fewer, I believe. So let's get back on track. Let's put two in a row together. And what a nice time it would be against the Eagles.
And as the NFC is kind of faltering a little bit and everyone's trying to figure out who is the class of the NFC, do you feel good about the Cowboys? I mean, they're not necessarily the number one team that comes to mind when you close your eyes and you see the best team in the NFC, but they are a team to be reckoned with, and they get a chance this weekend against the Eagles.
Yeah, I manage my expectations pretty good, Tate. That's smart. I think they're going to be a 5 seed. They're going to go to the NFC South winner. God forbid it's your Panthers. And
God forbid. We can't watch that. We don't want to see that. One last one here, which I'm not sure how this one snuck in, but I'll say it anyway. Tate Frazier is the best guest picker in Ringer Wise Guy history. Is that an overreaction or an underreaction?
Wow, that is an underreaction.
From the top. Oh,
that's from you. You know it's from you. I mean, well, you have some tough competition. You have John Jastrzemski's sister, John Jastrzemski's neighbor's dog. You have nephew Kyle. So I think it is you. No, you were like 2 rebounds away from going 4-4.
Russell Westbrook, yeah. I needed a double-double plus 290. They decided to sit him in the fourth quarter because he was beating Wembanyama so bad.
Right, yeah. And you also hit this thing where you picked 5 guys to score a touchdown. If four of them score a touchdown on FanDuel, there's a prop, you win. And I'm like, the poor kid. Let him learn the hard way.
No, when I even sent in the weekly special, everyone looked at me like, what an idiot.
I couldn't even look at you. I was disgusted.
Jack, our producer, he like threw up in his mouth when I sent it. But yeah, 4 of the 5 guys, everyone but Tony Pollard scored a touchdown.
You'll be replacing
me
in no time.
Oh, I don't know about that. We'll see. Let's get to the Riverboat because this is always fun. We do some prop culture here, and we always have a fun question from our Riverboat captain. And this week, we have a good one. The most miserable sports rivalry after we watched that Jets Giants game had that bad taste in our mouth. We said, what is more miserable than this? So we have the odds in front of us. Giants Jets 3-1 here. We got Clippers Lakers 7-1. We got the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals at 10-1. We got Bill Simmons, our boss, versus $1 million picks at 20-1. That's a dark horse right there. And we got the field at even odds. Who do you have most miserable sports rivalry?
This is a tough one because that Jets Giants matchup debacle was tough to beat. But I am going to say, you know, the Washington Generals, I know people are going to be like, well, that is a miserable rivalry. That's got to be it. But because they win like once every decade, the Generals against the Globetrotters. But I say trust the process there. I think they're getting it together. I'm going to go with Bill Simmons. $1 million picks. The biggest scam in sports. Did you know he's not even betting $1 million
on
these?
No way. Yes, he is.
No, he's not. He has to. I know for sure he's not. And he also doesn't make these picks. It's not $1 million, and it's not his picks. It's his dog dumb Murph or something makes these.
Oh,
picks.
Yeah. So you're blaming Murph. He's got a fall guy,
whatever.
A fall dog.
It's an all-around scam, the biggest in sports media.
Overrated or underrated, Murph's picks. I mean, that's the next segment.
You're
we'll
right.
figure that out.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do our best. But I like that. $1 million picks for Bill Simmons. As someone that produced that podcast and did those back in the day, I think that's a great pick and great value at 20-1. So I like that.
Thank
We're going to go with Bill Simmons versus $1 million picks, most miserable sports rivalry.
I'm miserable making these picks. I'm done.
I think he's done. I think he is officially done. So there you go. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to do some line look-aheads and a little track to the future, and we'll be right back with Cousin Sal.
Oh, wow.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. I'm still here with Cousin Sal, and we're having fun looking ahead to Week 9. Let's do some line look ahead.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start with the first game of the weekend. We have the Tennessee Titans, led by Will Levis, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, led by my guy, Mitchell Trubisky. Steelers.
Who are these people? What?
Yeah, Steelers -3 in this game at home. Will Levis on the road looked great in his first outing, threw three touchdowns. I mean, looked incredible. Four touchdowns. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, he threw four touchdowns. So how do we feel, and how do we handicap Will Levis in this hot Tennessee offense?
Yeah, Sunday night I thought this would be around 3.5, but I guess 3 is right. You can't get off the 3 with the Steelers. They're such a ridiculous team, right? So put it at 3 and hope for the best if you take the Steelers. And I think you're going to get the best from this dumb Steelers team on Thursday night, because Will Levis, as good as he was last weekend, now it's a different story. When you go on the road and you got TJ Watt staring you down, that's where things kind of fall apart. And why shouldn't another backup quarterback fall apart? That's what I'm saying. So I think I'm taking the Steelers.
Yeah, it's a crazy NFL landscape that we live in right now. And Will Levis is a guy famously that put mayonnaise in his coffee coming into the draft. A lot of people thought that was strange, myself included. Mitch Trubisky famously won the MVP on Nickelodeon, right? There's a lot of characters in this game and a lot of conversations.
Are you, if you're
had.
Another backup and you saw how well Will Levis did with the mayonnaise and the coffee, if you're like Tommy DeVito, are you doubling up on the Miracle Whip?
I think so. Tyrod Taylor is like, let's put some mayonnaise in there and let's see what happens. Who knows?
Something.
Yeah, four touchdown passes. Right. Something's working. Let's track to the future real quickly, because you mentioned the Steelers. They're 4-3 right now. They are a conundrum, and Mike Tomlin is also someone that refuses to have a losing record in the NFL. The win total right now for the Steelers is at 8.5. How do we feel about that? Looks like Vegas is confused as
well. Yeah, of course FanDuel's going to have it at 8.5. Why would they move it off anything? Because we know the Steelers are going to have 8 wins going into the last week. That's what they famously do.
Right.
Now, I guess he could be over 500 and they could be like 6-6-4 going into the last week. And then it's still 500, but not over 8.5 wins. But Tomlin's going to be the one thing I'll say about it. Their magic tricks they usually do at the end, it might not work. They may have to have those 8 wins later or fairly early in the season, because they end with Cincinnati, Seattle, and Baltimore, I believe. So that's a tough 3 for the Steelers.
So there you have it. 8.5 games for the Steelers win total. Vegas knows what they're doing. Let's talk about the Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs. This game is in Germany. And Sal, I did a little research here to figure out why this game was in Germany. So I'm going to read it to you. Apparently, every team in the NFL has to play a game at an international site once every 8 years. And the Chiefs wanted this game to be in Germany since they have global marketing rights there. And now they're going to play the Miami Dolphins. And one of the best games, if not the best game of the weekend. Did you know that you had to play an international national game
every eight years? I had no idea.
I did not know that was in the bylaws, but apparently it is, and the Chiefs have global marketing rights in Germany, so they're happy to go over there and play this game against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So there you go. A little background, little NFL business.
I hope you made all that up. I really do.
I wish I made all that up.
8
honestly.
Years seems like a long time. Like, you could maybe like sweat it out. I'm like, all right, maybe the airline industry will collapse.
I think they kept kicking the can down the road, and apparently the three teams that they could have played in Germany were the Lions, the Bears, or the Dolphins. Dolphins, the Lions, they ended up playing week one and losing, of course. The Bears were coming to Kansas City, and they wanted him to come because they had so many Bears fans. Yeah. So they ended up with the Dolphins, and now we end up with this great game, an absolute shootout. You got Miami going there, Kansas City, minus 2.5 in this game. What do you expect to see in
this
one?
I love this game. Maybe they check Tay-Tay's schedule. Like, hey, can you fly abroad? You can do that?
Yeah, of course. I think she's going on tour.
Yeah, we'll put you
in
economy. Right. You're in 33C. I love this game. I hope you wake up for it, Tate. I know you're a big partier Saturday night. Try to do a little less heroin Saturday night. Maybe you get in there, wake up for this. But no, it's a great one.
6:30 a.m.
on
the West Coast.
Yeah, I'm ready. You know, I picked this exactly right Sunday night. I thought it would be 2.5. The Dolphins squash bad teams. The Chiefs did not look great, but everyone's writing them off because they lost to Denver. Eventually, they're going to lose to Denver. Mm-hmm. They've been 18 in a row, all right? Don't forget, 2 weeks ago, he went for 353 passing Mahomes. So I wouldn't say I'm not ready to pick the Chiefs just yet. I think this is a fair number, though.
Yeah, and it sounds like his kids were sick, and that's how he got the flu. So it was literally a flu game, and as much as people were saying he's going to have his Jordan flu game, sometimes when you have the flu, you probably shouldn't be playing a football game. And I think that was the case in Denver. They capitalized on the fact that Patrick Mahomes is sick.
He had his Jordan flu game, but it was Jordan from New Kids on the Block.
Right. Yeah.
Is that even right?
I think so.
Someone check that.
Someone's in a boy band out there. Let's track to the future here, because this is interesting. The MVP odds. Patrick Mahomes still the favorite despite the flu game. He's plus 270. Jalen Hurts is at plus 350. And then we have Tua at plus 370. These two guys battling it out. Do you think this is going to be a game that has MVP implications?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously a lot of visibility here if you and I wake up for it. But I was surprised at Mahomes' numbers compared to Mahomes' 15 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Russell Wilson has 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. And everyone's like, oh, Denver sucks. Denver's this, Denver's that. Like, Russ is having an MVP.
He's having a great year.
I think we're screwing with the narrative or something.
Right.
But listen, I hate to put it out there, but Hurts is playing so well. When he was playing on a busted up knee, right? He had a sore knee. Mm-hmm. I feel like one of these three is going to miss some time, sadly. I really do. So I will stick with Mahomes. I have him at 6-1. Plus 270 is a good number. But if you look, Sam Howell's numbers are exactly the same as Jalen Hurts. 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 2,100 yards. So I don't know. There's a weird epidemic going along.
Yeah, the narrative is, you know, always driving the conversations, but it's not the reality of the football. And then you try to parse those two things. It is interesting. And it also feels like if you could take the field outside of those three guys to win MVP, that probably would be your best bet right now. Because like you said, they all have their holdups at the moment. But that'll be a fun game. Again, it's an early game. It's in Germany. Shout out to the Dolphins. Shout out to the Chiefs. That global marketing deal will probably be good this weekend. Yeah, it'll be great for them. Next up, we got the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. Baltimore minus 5.5 in this game. Going to be an interesting one. Geno Smith, they looked great in the throwbacks last week. Baltimore, they got, you know, handled business there against the Cardinals. Wasn't the prettiest game, but they do come away with the win there. Who do you like in this one?
Baltimore played that great game against Detroit a couple weeks ago. And we're like, oh, they're going
to have a hangover game.
Yeah, we thought they'd let down, but they still handled Arizona. It was a weird field goal at the end to cover. I thought this number was too rich. I thought it would be 3.5 to open. I also think Seattle's a lot better than maybe they are. Geno Smith seems to start off strong, couple touchdowns in the first half, and then they let teams back into it. Now they're playing a team on their level. And don't forget, Seattle pretty good on the road. They crushed the Giants. They beat the Lions, played a close one against Cincinnati. I still think 5.5 is too heavy.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll loves his defense. And they have a guy in Witherspoon who could win Defensive Rookie of the Year. So that's also, PFS says he's the best corner in football right now. And just in general, the Seahawks are a very fascinating team. Let's track to the future, because if you look at the NFC West 1 seed right now, the 49ers are minus 280 to get that. The Seahawks are plus 250. Do you think there's some value in taking Seattle right now?
Yeah, much like Cincinnati, this one was like plus 550 a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to stick with San Francisco. I know their defense has to get better. They give up touchdowns every time there's a red zone.
People were blaming Brock Purdy, but it is the defense.
It is the defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. There are some ringer types who are getting like death threats here for blaming Brock Purdy.
I can't believe that. Yeah.
Talk about the defense is right. But I still like San Francisco. I'm looking at Seattle as a really tough stretch coming up aside from this Baltimore game. the 49ers, the Cowboys, the 49ers again, and the Eagles. So I'm going to stick with the minus 280.
Yeah, I like that. And also in this game, do you think the Baltimore Ravens can cover? I know they've struggled with covering. They can win games, but they can't really cover games so far. Yeah. Do you think they can do it this
week? No, I think this is a field goal game. Mm-hmm. You know, they've taken Tucker out. Tucker, I think it's because I have him on a bunch of fantasy teams. I can make Tucker be, you know, irrelevant. That's what I've done to him.
You have the power.
But I feel like this is a field goal game to end it. So I think 5.5
stars. I think so as well. I like that pick. Let's go with your Dallas Cowboys. This is the NFC East showdown of the week. We got the Cowboys traveling to Philadelphia. Eagles -3 in this game. What do you see in this one, Sal?
They're getting too cute with this line. Mm-hmm. The Eagles should be a 3.5-point favorite.
I think so,
better.
Too.
I really do. And, you know, it's nice of them to do this. I know there's going to be Cowboys money coming in, but they're home. They're better. They have a ridiculous home field advantage. I think they've won 10 out of the last 12 there. We saw what happens when the Cowboys play a physical team like the 49ers. Philadelphia is going to be the same, similar thing. I'm not going to pick against my Cowboys just yet, but I do think that number should be higher, north of 3.
And Dak Prescott is going to have his hands full this week. I mean, that defensive line for the Eagles, the rotating of 10 guys in and out, I mean, it just never stops, the pass rush. And late in the game, we saw a sign.
Pass rush. I haven't heard pass rush.
Pass rush.
I've heard pass rush.
Well, maybe that's what you say to Russ. You know, okay. Russ Wilson, pass,
yeah,
Russ,
pass,
please,
Russ.
Pass. Okay. Yeah, he's having a little bounce back there. But, yeah, let's track to the future, too, because a conversation needs to be had about our guy A.J. Brown. Mm. If you look at offensive player of the year right now, Tyreek Hill is the favorite at +140, Christian McCaffrey at +160, and A.J. Brown is sitting right there with a lot of value at +750. He's been incredible so far this
season.
This
is a great trio here. Three phenomenal players at the top, and like you said, A.J. Brown is making his move. These are three guys who can't win the MVP award because it's designated for a quarterback.
Right.
So this is their hardware, the offensive player of the year. A.J. Brown, first of all, he comes down with every 50-50 ball. It's insane. And Jalen Hurts knows that, and it's a nice little advantage. But I looked at his last six games, 127 yards or more over the last six games. That's phenomenal. Yeah.
It feels like a guaranteed he's going to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that one-handed touchdown catch he had last weekend was incredible. He looks cool. He's got the visor on. He looks like one of the best, if not the best, receiver in football. I know our boss, Bill Simmons, says that to you every single week, that this guy, insert player, is the best receiver in football.
Every week.
But I think A.J. Brown might actually be. I don't want to steal his bit.
I don't know. It's tough. No, you could steal that bit. It's a lousy bit. The only thing I'll say about these three is, McCaffrey seems independent of who the quarterback is.
Mm-hmm.
So he scored in, 17 straight games? Obviously, Hill's value goes down if Tua gets hurt. Same with Brown with Jalen Hurts. So
yeah, shout out to Christian McCaffrey. He's playing some good football right now. Let's keep it going. We got the Buffalo Bills traveling to Cincinnati. Cincinnati -3 in this game. Joe Burrow looks back. The Buffalo Bills are trying to send a statement that they're still one of, if not the class of the AFC. Who do you like in this one,
Bills are so weird. They were a pass interference call away from losing that game.
Ridiculous.
Tampa
the fact that Tampa was even in that game was ridiculous. That was all coaching.
Very stupid. I can't get my finger on the pulse with the Buffalo Bills. Teams they should beat, games they should win. But
they're
going to
have a player only meeting
that.
Very soon, I can tell you that.
It might be at halftime of this game. I had this at 1.5, and it was 1.5, and it shot up to 3 in just one day. This was Sunday night. It was 1.5. Bengals are tough and maybe have a chip on their shoulder. Don't forget, they faced off in that, you know, infamous night game last year, that Monday night game. Now it's a Sunday night game, and they didn't finish. And the Bengals looked like they were about to win that before tragedy struck. So I think Bengals being 3-point favorite is fair.
Yeah, this is going to be a really good football game. And let's track to the future right now. Look at the AFC North, because the Ravens are still the favorites at -130, but you got Cincinnati now at +330, Browns +450, and the Steelers at +850 to win the AFC North. Do you still feel good about the Ravens, or do you take a flyer on Cincinnati right now?
I think the Ravens, like I said, Cincinnati, this is a similar case with Seattle. Cincinnati was about 5.5-1 a couple weeks ago. Now it's down to 330. They play the Ravens. They're at the Ravens in a couple of weeks. So take Cincinnati if you like this bet to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, you know, bigger picture, 17-1 to win the Super Bowl. This is a team that could make it as a wild card and go all the way through.
And I don't know what Joe Burrow does or what happens the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, but he completely transforms. I mean, he's a sandbagger is what I'm going to start calling him, because I think he comes out, he gets people a little off his scent. I knew he was dealing with the injury early on, but all of a sudden he looks like Joe Burrow and the quarterback that we all know. So congratulations to Cincinnati fans. I know they have a lot of optimism right now. Final game, Sal, we have my loss Los Angeles Chargers going to New York to take on the Jets. Who do you like in this one? Jets getting 3 points in this game.
This was one. Chargers were laying one before the Sunday night game, and then they laid waste to the Bears. I don't know if anyone should be judged on their, what they did against the Bears, but I don't know that the Jets should be judged about how they played the Giants. That was ugly. I will say Zach Wilson may be able to exploit this 31st-ranked pass defense, as most quarterbacks have done. So it's an interesting game. I would probably take the 3 points.
Yeah, Brandon Staley said he was very optimistic about his team, and everyone is saying, what is this guy talking about? but he continues to like their defense. And, there is another track to the future that we have here, talking about Coach of the Year. Most people, by all accounts, have had Dan Campbell of the Lions kind of as the de facto Coach of the Year so far. But I want to throw out some other names in the mix. Mike McDaniel, plus 330 is a name that's out there. Robert Saleh of the New York Jets right there at plus 550. D'Amico Ryans plus 1,200. And then Pete Carroll at plus 1,400. There's a lot of value there
we
as
like
well.
We like Pete Carroll. For Coach of the Year, it's usually wins above expected, projected wins. So if you take a team's projected wins, if they were supposed to win 7 games and they win 12, that's a pretty good candidate for Coach of the Year. We don't really have one of those. What we do have with Robert Saleh is, they were supposed to be good with Aaron Rodgers, and now they're good without him. They're 4-3. My problem with that is they're at the Bills and then play the Dolphins twice and at the Browns. So they have some tough games still ahead, and they have some problems. They really should have lost that game to the Giants.
And talk about the whiplash of the NFL. Last week we were talking about Robert Saleh as the most delusional coach in the NFL. This week we're talking about his odds for Coach of the Year. So that's how that goes. Cousin Sal, thanks so much for coming on. Cousin Sal's winning weekend on Friday. Ringer Wise Guys on Sunday. Appreciate you joining, and we'll see you next
week.
This
is amazing. I'm going to come back next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer, and joining us now, you know him from The Watch, you know him from the Rewatchables. He is a Ringer OG. He's the great Chris Ryan. Chris, how's it going, man?
What's up, Tate? Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, I'm fired up because we got to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers, right? This is the talking point of the NBA. Everybody wants to start with James Harden, but not on this show. We're going to start with Tyrese Maxey. Mad Maxey is what we like to call him in the business, and he's having a great year, and he's thriving in Nick Nurse's system. Our boy KOC just wrote an article about this, but you, with 3 games in right now, watching Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, Kelly Oubre, how do you feel about the Sixers right now?
I'm in my Oubre honeymoon period.
Right, it's fun. I had fun as a Hornets fan for a little while.
This happens to everybody. I like Mad Maxey. I like Eastern Conference Player of the Week, which is what he got voted. Maxey looks incredible. The Nick Nurse system is apparently cutting and moving without the ball.
Right. We love it.
I'd never seen that before. No, it's been a while since I've seen anybody make a backdoor cut. I think Joel, I've heard some people talk about Joel was very enchanted by the Nuggets offense and wanted to see a little bit more of that in Philly. But it starts with him. He's making some good passes. And Maxey is a real example of it's kind of reminding me a little bit of Mikal Bridges when he got traded to Brooklyn, where you're like, did you always have this? And you were just kind of suppressed by the fact that you were with Booker and Chris and whatever. And now that you've been traded, and you have all this more usage, you're going out of your mind. But Maxey just looks like he's making the leap, which is one of my favorite things in sports, is when you see a young player and you're like, oh my God, this is really happening.
And now it's a conversation. You mentioned he's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. You have a conversation now where some people say he's most improved player. He should be in that conversation. But then there's others that argue, should he even be, because he's already this good? He just has the opportunity.
No,
what
yeah.
is that award?
I don't even know. It's I think it should really be guys coming back from injury, or people who are had a really bad rookie season. Now their second season's good. Maxey was like up and around 20 points a game last year, and right. now he's up and around 30. So is that really most improved, or isn't that just like an all-star?
Let's talk about another guy that a lot of people like, Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
He was in Los Angeles, played the Clippers. The game did not go great on the road for Victor Wembanyama. The Russell Westbrook show was rolling on, but seeing him in L.A., and what have you noticed in his first three games? What really stands out about Victor?
It really jumped out watching it on TV last night. I didn't get a chance to go. How different the Victor experience on the road is versus at home. At home, it's like a rock concert every night, and the Spurs fans are obviously so desperate to have somebody to like cheer for.
He's
like
their
that.
Sonny Bono.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But on the road, I felt like it took him a while, if ever, to get into the game. And it also seemed like the Clippers were like not on our watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like Victor's not going to be like swatting.
They saw the ESPN player rankings and Russell Westbrook is like got it hanging up in his locker.
I feel
apparently.
Like those guys, like I feel like maniac. On the road, maybe teams are going to be like, we're not letting you like punch shots out into like the 13th row and stuff like that. So it was a different experience for him, but he's going to have growing pains. The one thing that was interesting is like he's played three games or whatever. First game, he had the foul trouble. This Clippers game, it seemed like he kind of evaporated. So I think he's going to have to find like his footing, as much as he's just like this dazzling prospect and this amazing thing to watch on a night-to-night basis. He's probably going to have some growing pains.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of a guy that's having growing pains, Chet Holmgren. Right now, Victor is minus 145 to win Rookie of the Year. Chet is right behind him.
Uh-huh.
Chet's around like plus 300 or so. Do you think there's any chance that Chet could make a push? Like, I know that we're all enamored with Victor Wembanyama. He looks great, but Chet looks more ready, I guess, to take that leap.
He's also going to be on like a team that might be top four in the Western Conference when the day's over, because like it seems like the Thunder are just rolling. Do you think Chet should be eligible for Rookie of the Year?
I think it's always like Ben Simmons did this, Blake Griffin did this, right? It's like the red shirt Rookie of the Year. I feel like there needs to be.
I don't feel like you should get a year of working out in an NBA training facility and then be up for Rookie of the
Year. Also, when you went out, you know, it's because like LeBron just stepped on your foot or whatever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're out for the year because we're trying to make sure we get a good pick. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, David Robinson Spurs energy behind
that. Yeah, so I think that like his case is really good if you're just going by stats, but I'm not so sure he should be eligible.
And it would hurt Victor Wembanyama, the narrative, if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year. That's a lot of people have said this about Anthony Edwards, right? LaMelo wins Rookie of the Year. Then, you know, number one pick Anthony Edwards doesn't get the same push, right? So you need Victor to win Rookie of the Year.
What do you think of some of the other guys in this rookie class? Like, who's your favorite so far to watch?
Oof. I mean, I think Victor is just the one I can't keep my eyes off of, but I have to say it, and maybe it's a little bit of a homer pick, but Brandon Miller is fun.
Brandon's kind of fun, man.
He and Beef Stew getting to, like, you know, Isaiah Stewart of the Pistons basically saying, meet me outside, we'll fight.
Like, go
I mean, and this is someone that tried to chase down LeBron James a few years ago, so that's not someone you really want to scrap with, but, you know, Brandon Miller wasn't scared.
Brandon's, like, impressed me, and also I like the cardiac Hornets. I like how every game seems to be like, oh my God, is this going to happen?
They're actually kind of fun. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with the Charlotte Hornets, obviously, outside of basketball, but when they're actually playing basketball, Scary Terry and the boys, I mean, it's a good time.
It's Halloween. It's Scary Terry's time.
Yeah, it's Scary Terry's season. Like you said, we like to find teams early that we won't watch later. And
so for you, it's your favorite team.
It's my favorite team right now.
Yeah.
Speaking of favorites, let's talk about favorites in the East quickly. The Sixers are in the mix. The Celtics are the favorites. The Bucks are right there. They're kind of neck and neck for the favorites. How are we feeling about the new look Bucks so far?
Good. Work in progress. Same thing with like having Nick come in to the Sixers. I think Adrian Griffin's doing different things. He's got like a much more aggressive defense. I was definitely like aware of that as a Sixers fan, where I was like, whoa, they're really jumping these lanes. Getting up in these guys. I feel like Mike Budenholzer's defense was very bend, don't break.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a lot more aggressive. I think that they're going to be one of those teams where they're not going to really know what to feel about their season until the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like when they get Dame time in the Eastern Conference semifinals, in the Eastern Conference finals, is when they're going to find out whether they made the right decision.
Yeah, and Giannis is one of those guys where I think that he likes, you know, when things go bad. Like, he likes when people don't want to pull for them or kind of write them off. So that game that Dame played the other night where, you know, he had a terrible stat line and everything, Giannis after the game is like giddy and smiling.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's sick. This guy's twisted. This is what he likes. But do you believe that, you know, the Celtics, obviously we're talking about the Sixers, talking about the Bucks. Do you think the Celtics should be considered still the favorites? It's a tough one.
It's a tough thing to just like actually even say, like to make the words in my brain and have them come out of my mouth. But those first few Celtics games were very impressive. I did like Bill Simmons did some concern trolling about Jaylen Brown being the fourth option and how long he's going to be happy about that. I do think that that Boston has the potential for just there's a players only meeting somewhere down the line for those guys.
Yeah, shout out to the Chicago Bulls. They already have one of those, and looks like things are turning in the right direction. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk the midseason, in-season tournament in the NBA and talk about the league pass rankings that Chris is putting together.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. I'm still here with Chris Ryan. And Chris Ryan, in case you missed it, there is a new thing in the NBA. They're hyping it up. They're going to build out the courts. It is the in-season tournament. And I guess people are fired up about this.
I'm fired up. I am pro in-season tournament.
Okay, but like, what is the end game, I guess, with this tournament?
Okay, so here's the case for it. Mm-hmm. I'm a European football fan.
Right.
And in European football, usually they have the league season. But then they also have these cup competitions that go throughout the season. If you're lucky enough to be in the Champions League, that's one thing. There's the UEFA Cup, which is kind of like the Europa League. It's like the one right below. And then all the domestic leagues have these league cups, like basically the FA Cup. They do them in every country where all the teams in the country get to play against each other in this tournament. They usually do knockouts there, but we're going to do group stages and then knockouts
right.
in the midseason tournament.
Starts November 3rd.
Everybody's like, what's the incentive? I don't know how to answer that question other than, like, if you're like, well, what are they playing for? I'm like, the thing. They're playing to be like, we won that thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else I can give you other than that. I don't think there's any amount of money that's going to make people care about it more or less. I guess you could throw draft picks around, but I think then that starts to screw with, like, some of the sanctity for what it's worth of the draft and the draft lottery. Like, I don't know how they would do that. But to me, it's like there are a lot of teams in the NBA who have absolutely no shot at winning the NBA Finals at all. Probably not for the next 5 to 8 years. But they could get hot and things could get weird. They could find themselves in the knockout with a good draw, beat two teams, and then they're in Vegas. And then you know what? They win the first midseason tournament. And when they talk about the FA Cup in England and how it's been around for more than 100 years and the storied history, well, history starts like today. Like, what if we're still doing this in 20 years and we talk about, like, oh, man, the Pacers, they never won the finals, but they were always so good in the tournament because
right.
Rick Carlisle is just always, like,
Carlisle owns it.
But that's, like, in Spain, Sevilla wins the Europa League, like, every other year.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have, like, this, like, sixth sense of how to win these things. I think it would be amazing if there was, like, a knockout specialist NBA team. And I think that there's a couple of teams in the middle of the pack who might be dangerous.
Well, let me throw out one team that I think could be dangerous. The Sacramento Kings.
Yep.
I feel like the Kings are the team that would probably have the most to prove on this stage. And they want to send a message that they can win a tournament with all these teams. And if you look at their group, I mean, they got the Warriors in their group. There's some unfinished business, a little rivalry brewing.
The Warriors already come out and said, we want to win this.
Right, yeah. Right. And then you got the Timberwolves with the, you know, Ant-Man. You got the Oklahoma City Thunders. And then you got Wembanyama and the Spurs. I mean, that's the group C in the West.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a group.
See, you're getting excited.
Right.
Look, they're not going to – I don't think that we're going to see Adam Silver chop 20 games off the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they're going to do a lot of the things that maybe hardcore NBA fans think the NBA needs to do to make it a little bit more exciting in the regular season. We got Jimmy Butler resting after 3 games. Like, this is what it is. The NBA season is what it is. So when people come and say, oh, what are they going to play for in this midseason tournament? I'm like, what are they playing for in the regular season? Most nights of the week, you're lucky if you get to see – full strength rosters. So why not add a little bit of competitive mix? And I don't think the Warriors or the Lakers or the Celtics are going to want to get embarrassed on national television by losing to the Pacers or like you know, the Rockets.
Or the Hornets.
In a knockout game.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the courts, because that's the other part of the conversation.
This is
try-hard
stuff.
Yeah, this just came out. There is a bunch of mock-ups of the courts. They have a lot of color. There's also the in-season tournament trophy in the middle of the court, kind of beckoning back to the NBA Finals trophy that used to be in the middle of the court. You've seen all of these, obviously. Your thoughts? I mean, that was worrisome, correct?
I think we just need to have, like, a full-on reboot of NBA branding.
Right.
Like, the City Edition jerseys.
My God.
Out of control. Like, we need to get back to basics. We need to get back to what built this league.
I think we need three jersey options.
No
max.
One was asking for this.
Right.
That's the main thing. It's like, it would be one thing. It would be kind of cool if, like, there was, like, I don't know. I actually thought they should play some midseason tournament games, maybe in, like, odd gyms, like smaller arenas, maybe, and $5 tickets to make it feel like a little bit more electric, a little bit more like, you know, like a college basketball game, essentially get a little bit of the March Madness flavor.
Right.
But I do not think we needed Boise State courts. Our boy Andrew Sharp tweeted about this.
Shout out to Andrew Sharp. He's very fired up about this.
Yeah.
He's like, what are these incentives? Give me the number 5 pick if I win this tournament.
I just do think that inherently, like, these guys compete in everything. They compete in card games on the plane. They compete in, like totally meaningless competitions all the time. They will get competitive about winning this tournament.
Yeah, and I think it will hopefully become a thing, but unfortunately we've seen the NBA kind of flip-flop, and then even with the All-Star game, it was, you know, the captains. Now we're going back to East-West. I just hope if they're going to stick with it, they really do stick with it.
I do too.
And lean into it. You
I
know
do
what
too.
I mean?
I think
don't leave it up for, like, is this is just a trial thing. We'll see how it works. Like, be like, this is what we're doing. This is what's happening.
Well, I think the reason why they're doing the group stages that they're doing is they don't want to wind up with a, like, Rangers Diamondbacks type final. You know, they want to try and help the Lakers and the Celtics along the way, but
that's,
I think,
the NBA way.
It's the NBA way. It's the NBA way.
Been doing that since 1940. You know what I mean? That's what they do.
Yeah, we only put two teams on TV.
Yeah, right.
How about that?
Yeah, people will love it. Let's talk about the top 100 players. Everyone does their top, you know, player rankings. The Ringer did this. We have our, it's a beautiful, like, you know, you got the League Pass player rankings.
Shout out to
the
Verrier. Justin Verrier organized this entire thing.
Yeah, working hard on this. But number one, I want to talk about number one, because I feel like this is really who has the belt in the NBA. It's obviously Nikola Jokic. He just bodies Chet the other night. Then after the game, he says he needs to get a little bit fatter as he laughs to himself. What do we think about the Joker right now and the fact that he pretty much runs the NBA?
Doesn't it feel like he is, like, fully aware of, like, how good he is right
now?
Oh,
yeah.
And, like, I is Denver going to lose? Is Denver about to have, like, a really, like, one of those, like, where they're going to talk about this season for a really long time, 60-plus win season? Like, anything is possible here.
Yeah, and I don't think there really is a super team. I think that there needs to be, he needs, like, a foe or someone that, you know, kind of just makes Jokic go to even another level. And
yes,
I do think it is Giannis or Embiid. It could be Embiid, right? I mean, we've seen Embiid push him as well. So I think it's one of those two guys. So I hope he gets that matchup.
Yeah,
at some point.
I mean, I think it'll also be interesting over the years to see how NBA teams build. Like, obviously the Suns decided to go super team to combat this, but, like, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to work against the Nuggets.
Right? I don't either. And they keep trying to sell me, the Suns people are selling me on the idea that Nurkic played in front of Jokic. He has some sort of weird, like, mental advantage where, like, I'm better than you.
Seem
you're
like
my
Jokic
backup.
Jokic really spends much time thinking about that.
I don't think so at all. I think Jokic would actually love that. I think he's like, okay, I know this guy very well. You know, Sabonis is a guy I could see maybe trying to give Jokic trouble. But the more you try to go around it and try to, you know, you're grasping it strong. At some point, because this guy is unstoppable. So it is wild that he's kind of, you can't really argue that he's the, you know, he is the number one player.
It was the easiest conversation that we had about making the list. I think we had arguments all over the list, all the way down to, like, the Derek White to Jabari Smith zone.
My goodness.
But it was like Jokic won was like a 4-second thing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even like, well, Embiid won MVP. Are we sure? It's like, no, Jokic probably should have won MVP and won the title, and, like, he has the belt. It's that simple.
Let's talk about Philly quickly. The Phillies in general, there was a lot of hype about this team. You know, I mean, they're just hitting dingers all over the place. And then, you know, Mad Dog Russo goes on his show and says, I will retire if the Phillies lose Game 6 or Game 7, leading us to the ultimate,
is he accountable for what he
says? No, he already came out and said that was just him talking.
Okay,
he's like, I'm
still
working.
The whole Colorado betting fucking gummies thing. I don't know. Yeah.
So that happens, and I feel like he cursed the Phillies inherently. Then also you had the Super Bowl last year, Jalen Hurts, you know, a great ride. They get to the Super Bowl. They go up against Pat Mahomes. Where are we standing right now at Philly Sports? Like, are we standing strong? Do we feel good?
I think that you're asking somebody who lives in Los Angeles how they feel about the Philadelphia sports community. When I go home, I think it's a little bit more passionately felt.
Right.
To me, this is like a great time. This is just awesome. Like, postseason runs, lots of narratives, lots of talking points, lots of guys that it's just like easy to love. It's easy to love Bryce.
Right.
It's easy to love Jalen. It's easy to love AJ Brown. You know, like, Philly really did well kind of helping pull Trey Turner out of his tailspin earlier in the season, giving him like the ovation. So, you know, you could say they don't have a lot to show for it with no trophies, but I don't know. Like, it's pretty cool to be in the NLCS, to be in the World Series, to be in the Super Bowl.
And you're, like, in the best division in baseball, it feels like, just with the Braves there. It's a nice rivalry that's brewing. And then the Eagles also in the NFC East with the Cowboys. I mean, it's a good conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be a real – this one, this week, it feels like one of the more important Cowboys games in a long time. Because I think that even though the Eagles are the only one-loss team in the league – everybody's got a lot of complaints.
Just look at the power rankings at the Ringer. I yell at Nora every single week about the disrespect to the Eagles. And I have no standing.
And I am a faithful Stephen Ruiz reader, but like I feel like he's very like relatively low on Jalen Hurts in comparison to some other guys with a lot more L's. So
he's in Brock Purdy's head. That's
I think we had our fun with Micah Parsons last season.
Right.
I'm sure he remembered that. It'll be really interesting to see them go up against the Cowboys this weekend.
Yeah, I think that Jalen Hurts, for whatever reason, I just love him. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people do love him. But, you know, when you have someone that's winning a lot, we usually turn on them at some point. But Jalen Hurts, because of his story, because of the way he got benched at Alabama and then goes to Oklahoma, I don't know. It also, just feels just like we're rooting for him.
It's also the locker room is rooting for him. Like Kelsey being like, I decided not to retire so that I could snap the ball to Jason to Jalen Hurts is like, it's all you need to know.
Yeah, and the tush puss, right?
Yeah.
Like it's
although we had a ring.
Finally got
at end of the game, right. We had a little triple option tush push going.
Right. Yeah. Shout out to Paul Johnson and Georgia Tech right there with the triple option. Chris Ryan, thanks so much for coming to the show. We'll definitely have you back, man.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it. Thanks for watching Through the Ringer. Shout out to Cousin Sal. Again, go watch Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend on Fridays at 10 a.m. and the Ringer Wise Guys Sunday at 10 a.m. And while you're watching FanDuel TV, why don't you watch Through the Ringer on Fridays at 9 a.m.? We will be back. We have Nora back on the show. We have Kevin O'Connor on the show to talk about the NBA. Got a jam-packed show. Going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned. Keep watching. I appreciate everyone tuning in, and we will see you on Friday.